Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're never too young and you're never too old to carry Christ and change the world. When God is with you, anything is possible. We heard that in the message that, in the passage that Pastor Callan just read, which is called the Annunciation. It's Gabriel's visit to Mary to tell her she is with the Christ child. And on this day, as our children's choirs delight us in worship, I will tell you what I tell our confirmation kids all the time. You are not just coming to church each week to check off one more thing, to check one more thing off your to-do list or to fulfill some responsibility. You are coming to church to learn the language of faith so that when you are in places like school or work or family or your home and things don't go quite the way you were expecting, you know God's voice, you know God's promise, and you know God will be with you wherever you go. I love telling confirmation kids this, especially because they are old enough to make sense of the world and young enough to have almost their whole lives ahead of them. When I was 12, I've talked about this before, my family went on a ballpark and capital tour. We visited all the major league ballparks between here and the East Coast. We went through Canada and down through Chicago, East Coast down to Chicago and through Milwaukee and back. Hit all the ballparks, hit all the capitals, state capitals. And when we visited Washington, D.C., I remember visiting one of my dad's old students from Augsburg College, and she was doing something called the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. I was 12. As I said, and it made a huge impression on me, and I secretly vowed that I would do that one day too, which I did, which led, that one year led to 5 years in my placement, which led me to seminary, which led me to here today, which I never would have predicted in my wildest dreams. The creeds, the prayers, the commandments, the Bible stories that we learn here in church are not learned to climb a higher level in your walk with God. They are to remind you of the constant presence of God in your life. And this seems easy when life is going smoothly. But when the moment of annunciation comes and God invites you to do things that you don't want to do, it's harder to discern God's voice. Just look at today's story. In church circles, as I said, this story is called the Annunciation, or in more modern language, the Announcement. It's the story where the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she will carry a baby whom she will name Jesus, for he will be the Savior of the world. Not only is this foundational to our lives of faith, it is foundational to our understanding, the Annunciation moments in our own lives that play out in various ways all the time. You see, Annunciation moments are not pain-free. Mary's Annunciation moment is described like this. She's a young virgin, probably 13 to 15 years old, from a small, insignificant town, and she is told she is carrying Jesus. She is perplexed by this. First, that Gabriel would call her the favored one, and next, that she would be with child when she has never been with a man. So she asks Gabriel, how can this be? After all, you can imagine the shame, the worry about what others might think, the misunderstanding, the disbelief that comes with Gabriel's announcement. And haven't we all been there? In an annunciation moment, receiving an announcement that we were not quite prepared to hear. The doctor revealing a cancer diagnosis. The spouse asking for a divorce. The boss letting you go. Like Mary, when we are given these announcements, we ask the question, how can this be? And Gabriel assures her that the Lord is with her. And that is significant, because there's something about the withness of God that makes all the difference. It's the promise of Christmas, that God comes to us as a baby in a manger called Emmanuel, which incidentally means God with us. Gabriel doesn't say God will save you from having to carry the Christ child. Gabriel says God will be with you as you carry the Christ child, which are two very different messages. I think I learned it most fully and clearly when I actually did move to Seattle to do the Lutheran Volunteer Corps after college. I wanted to put my faith into action rather than just keep it as head knowledge. So I went out there for a year. As you heard, I stayed for five. The thing is, I went out with this attitude that because of the great gift God has given me in Jesus, I owed it to Jesus and the world to give back. And I suppose there is some grace in that, that I recognize that God has created me and all that exists, but there is also this sense of obligation involved. Instead of trusting, like Mary did, that first I was named favored and there was nothing I could do to possibly gain favor or to prove my worth with God, I kind of felt obligated to prove my favoredness or at least pay it back. But I soon learned that this is not the way God works when it comes to human relationships. Of course, God calls us to relationships all the time, and God calls us to be with each other. Of course, God is also for us, and we should be for others. But we are not called to save each other. Christ does that. We are called to be with each other, as Gabriel promises God will be with Mary. Gabriel assures us the Lord is with us, and it's that withness that changes everything. It's the understanding of life that changed the way I think about hope, and I hope to live my own faith. You see, when I entered the Lutheran Volunteer Corps, I was placed in what was called a L'Arche community, one of over 100 faith-based communities around the world. You've heard me talk about it quite a bit, I know, and that is because it really did transform my faith. And probably the biggest reason was this. I grew up wanting to achieve in life, getting good grades, success in athletics, music, arts. I wanted to be good at whatever I did and seemed to be pretty wrapped up with my identity being equated with what I did. So when I went to Seattle, I wanted to be the best assistant possible. Assistants were the ones who did the wake-up and bedtime routines, who cooked meals, who took the core members to doctor appointments, who scheduled the doctor appointments and activities, who gave medications, things like that. The core members, who I just mentioned, were my housemates with special needs. Things like Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, deafness, blindness, birth injuries, and we lived together like a family. And because this organization originated in France, these folks were called core members because the word cœur means heart, or core means heart in French. And they were believed to be the heart of the community. But years into my L'Arche time, an anthropologist came to study what made these faith communities so vibrant and flourishing, because they really were like nothing I and most others had ever experienced before. And this anthropologist said that the core members themselves were not the heart of the community, but the relationships between the core members and the assistants were the heart of the community. It wasn't the assistants that were really helping the core members with much, actually. It was the core members that were revealing the assistants' humanity to themselves. So often we want to be saviors of our own lives. We want to prove ourselves, to toot our own horns. We want to rush ahead and do something for someone. But really what God is asking for us to do is be with each other. When someone does something for us, there becomes a power differential, a power imbalance. But when we do it with one another, we share love mutually with the world. And that is the gift of the Annunciation. Gabriel says to Mary, God will be with you as you carry Jesus and give birth to the Christ child. Not only will God do this for you, but not that God will do this for you, you must go about it yourself. But you must go about it knowing that God is with you. Mary says, here I am, Lord, and affirms her trust and willingness to be a partner for what God has in store. Mary could have said, hard pass, God, there is no way I will do this. What will people think of me? How will they respond to me? I'm just a 13-year-old virgin and none of this makes any sense. But Mary says yes. And her yes shows her trust in God's will being done despite the less than ideal circumstances for her. And by saying yes, Mary shows us all that love is possible, that the God with us-ness of life is true, that God promises to be with us in whatever Annunciation moment comes our way, which are almost always the most unexpected. God loves you, God calls you favored, and God is with you wherever you go. Like Mary, these three things are all you need to know when Annunciation moments come your way. This is the language of faith. This is your language to lean on. Thanks be to God. Amen.